Chairman Grant Holton, I'll bring the meeting to order. Present is Commissioner Brooks, Commissioner Van Beek. We have an agenda item for fiscal year 2027 budget workshops, and we will be looking at parks, cultural, and natural resources. All right, take it away.
Mr. Chair, Commissioners, I'm going to approach this with mostly focusing on the changes and also highlighting kind of the complexities that people might not understand if you're just looking at the numbers of a parks budget. As you know, we're parks, in many ways, we're our own facilities director. Even though we have a facilities director, we have all the same types of things to look out for. You know, we pay electrical bills, we pay security lines. You know, we have kind of our own mini facilities within the county. And so with that, when you have facilities, there's infrastructure that's aging, infrastructure that needs replaced, or things that just need general upkeep, and also things you can't prepare for. We can't prepare for vandalism. We can't prepare for something unexpectedly breaking down. So many of the things in our budget will be, we're planning on like one-time replacements or improvements, so there will be fluctuations in our budget for that. The second thing that really complicates talking about our budget is grants. We have been very successful with grants, but and most of them are reimbursement, but that means that there is a line with an expense to pay for the grant, and then in revenues, a line for anticipated reimbursements, which we hope null each other out. But there can be this appearance of giant increases in our requests that really hopefully null out in the end. So that makes it complicated, on top of the fact that then many of the grants that we get have expanded to potentially 3 fiscal years, but that doesn't mean those fiscal years match with our fiscal years, such as the case with State Parks Grant. Their fiscal year is off from ours, and so when we're doing grants, we're constantly looking at where do we feel like, if this grant isn't going to be done, where do we feel like it's going to be at the end of the fiscal year? How much do we have to roll over? How much in reimbursement do we think we need to roll over? So sometimes the requests are, we've already requested this, but we need some of this to roll over. So again, we're going to go through that. But just for anyone looking at our budget, just comparing numbers left and right from fiscal year to fiscal year doesn't get the whole story. So we're going to try and go through that. Before we start, too, I also wanted to say I didn't know that this new system was actually going to print out the notes in a readable and helpful format, which is why we did the compilation of comments document that you should have. That document just follows in all the right order every budget line we have, and at the end it has the things that are in facilities budget. So it should make it easy to go through this. So when we're talking about revenues, one of the things that I want to talk about is that since 2019, we have received $1,205,684.42 in grants since 2016. That is one of the big ways that we help the county, is by looking for other money to pay without relying on taxpayer funds. In addition, there's possibly a $12,000 increase on a grant that we are pending to hear about a grant award or not. So that one's pending. We always like to say imminent grant award notice. $22,000 of our revenue is actually reimbursement grants. So you will see when we get down to the miscellaneous professional service line, $22,000 in request for services. That is nulled out by this anticipated $22,000 in reimbursement. So that's where we're talking about, you know, we've got to have that equal number in both expenses and reimbursements.
Right.
This fiscal year, you will note that in FY26, we had a very large number, $593,680 in anticipated capital grant reimbursements. Just yesterday, we had the commissioners, yourselves, sign the reimbursement request for our Waterways Improvement Fund Phase 1 grant. So we will be seeing this fiscal year reimbursement of $328,138 for that grant. We also just signed a contract for phase two of the grant, which will start shortly. This one we will need to talk about, but I feel like we could talk about it towards the end because this one could, we don't know for sure if it'll happen, end this fiscal year. So we're leaving the reimbursement amount in this fiscal year. We're not counting on it next year, hoping we get it done. I would rather not count it next year, assuming we're gonna get it done in this one and then not be able to realize that for next year. Does that make sense? And I'll get to that.
Okay.
So the other part in our revenues is $7,000 in user fees. If you look at FY26, it did have 9,000, but 2,000 of that or so came from Canoe Science Camp revenue, which had been put in other areas previously. So I'm just looking at that $7,000, which seems to have been consistent over the last 2 years for the park user fees.
Okay.
Any questions on revenue?
Yes.
If we got to a point in our MOU with the Fish and Wildlife, it's just 30,000 foot view, but to be able to charge for parking out there, and that's a whole different system, but that would benefit both the Fish and Wildlife and Canyon County Parks to be able to share parking spaces. It's pretty crowded with 30,000 people on the weekend. That would be a goal to drive for. I know that Director Owens was very in favor of that, and at one point he offered to transplant sagebrush bushes by himself if he could get the job done. So they recently were grant recipients also. So there's a lot of really great potential for one of Canyon County's best assets.
We're potentially looking at, are there properties adjacent to the lake that the county owned where the county could do that as overflow parking, right?
Right.
So yeah, definitely things to keep an eye on.
Okay. Yeah.
For a budget, there's not a whole lot of change. I do want to celebrate the fact that we do have a signed offer letter. So in mid-July, knock on wood, we should be fully staffed. I want to say that the last couple years have been very hard staffing-wise. You're aware that just over a year ago, I had half full-time staff. So, you know, that's a lot on the staff that remains to keep things running. We do have a lot of part-time staff, but part-time staff are running the field trips, and so that means the rest of everyday business is the remaining staff. And when it's four of you, including yourself as the director, that's a lot. We were then fully staffed for all of 3 months before we had a couple positions go vacant, and then they were vacant for 5 months each. So I'm very excited to look at being full-time staffed, but also very excited about the conversations happening with HR about what we do for compensations and step, so people can see what step increases they could have and have some sort of consumable metrics for growth in the county. The other thing to note is that I'm requesting $132,000 in part-time staff. I believe that, what did I say? Oh, sorry. What I'm thinking, not what I'm saying, but $232,000 for part-time staff. That is what I requested last year, but it looks like it was $250,000, and I don't know where that variation came from. I don't know if that was potentially an increase in case overtime went. I'm not sure, but I would like to just stay with that $132,000 request, or $232,000.
No wonder they sit on each side of you.
So that, you know, that's $18,000 less that, you know, just, I don't know how it happened. Doesn't matter. I'm going to stick with that $232,000 request. For the B budget, this miscellaneous professional service line, this is the one that gets confusing again because of grants. This is where we put the expenditure amounts that we need to do to hire people to perform the services for grants, but then we add the same amount into that revenue column to null it out. So $22,000 of this out of this $59,000 total will be nulled out upon grant completion. 2,000 of this is a project that we were given the money for ahead of time, and the project just won't be done. So 2,000 of that, we already have the funds, so we just need to roll 2,000 over to finish paying for that. Again, that will also no balance. So of that 59,000, we're really only requesting 35,000 in new funds. Does that part make sense to everybody?
As long as the comptroller is just perfectly satisfied with how it flows through.
Sorry, we're trying to figure out some other numbers in the budget. I missed that general comment.
Chairman, commissioners, yeah, it looks like Nikki has the notes are very well laid out with
okay.
items. So I think yeah, any questions that we have can be answered within those notes.
Perfect. Yeah. Okay.
I try to provide visuals and for everyone to understand. It's hard to follow at times. So the $35,000 in new requests in this miscellaneous professional services is for two different things. $20,000 is we have a museum down there that the way I inherited it was going to be changing exhibits. There's simply just not enough capacity for our staff to do that. And we've learned that the public really wants to come to an archaeology park and see archaeology or history themed exhibits. We need a permanent exhibit. So Chelsea has done a lot of work, our historic preservation officer, to look at different options and get a couple quotes for exhibit design. So we are requesting $20,000 for design. That will include layout, design of the stuff that goes in there, the information, any placards, that kind of stuff. And then the next year would be, here's what it costs to actually print and install that. We do not know that we will, like this was the mid-range in the request. So we would just stick with this number or below. Staff would work to make this exhibit with some of the, a lot of the items we have, and to focus on the archaeology and the history that's in Caney County and Celebration Park specific. $15,000 is for Lake Lowell Waterways Improvement Fund grant application. So state park grants are due in January of each year. So to be able to apply for these grants, you have to have a site design and a budget estimate to be able to know what you're going to be requesting. That is usually something you hire out to an engineering firm to say, here's the general site plan, here's the estimates that it would cost to do this project. You include that with everything else in the grant, and then you wait until June to hear if you've been awarded the grant. Right. We have been very successful in these with the Celebration Park, other grants with state parks. So this would be a cost of up to $15,000. But if we're successful in getting the grant, it then counts as grant match. There is a grant match requirement of 5% for these grants. However, they've never awarded it to anyone with under 15% match. So while there's a technical 5% grant match, it's really like you need a 15% grant match to be competitive. Okay. So that is something that if we're awarded it, we can then use that as part of that match.
Okay.
And this is also where that MOU with Deer Flat comes into play, because we can't apply for grants to improve those boating facilities without some sort of agreement with the person that owns the land that those grants start to go on, right?
Okay,
so,
right.
So if we're approving a boat dock that starts on their land, we need some sort of agreement. This is also something we would work with Fish and Wildlife to see what kind of match they can provide through things they're doing. We would be very strategic about it.
Sure.
So,
Chairman, can I ask a question?
Yes.
And I don't know if this fits in here or not, but boat docks, people, recreation. We had some conversation probably 4 years ago about potentially having a rental facility where we could generate revenue like that for if people wanted to kayak or paddleboard. Did that idea just phase into the sunset?
It's something that we could have on our capital improvement plan. We've talked about that, like at Lake Lowell, like if you could build a covered like picnic
storage.
Area
yeah.
that you could, you know, feasibly rent that out, right? Those kinds of things, but you know, that would have to be something on our property. The biggest thing we struggle with at Lake Lowell Park is parking. We don't have a lot of parking for ourselves, right? And it's often full. So if you add that, we need to figure out how to also have the capacity for that.
Right. I mean, I think it would be, and it's a different conversation, but I think that there's room for the public to enjoy something like that. It was at a planned unit development in Colorado where they had that, and the prices that they charge are a lot, but if it's a way to help fund recreational opportunities with an urban conservation area that enhances the enjoyment in Canyon County, I would see that as a win and long-term vision for parks. But
it's 58%.
In addition to siting, what I'll just finish that thought. So siting areas, potentially that there could be easements for either walkways. I don't know if that's done either because of the build out that's happening next to the lake, but to look at maybe having a mapping of properties around there that could help with that area where you're on site managing a lot of that, that would be awesome as well.
I mean, ultimately, in an ideal world, we would be able to purchase more land around the lake and be able to use it in those ways that was, you know, completely under the county's control with those. Otherwise, it is where we do need to partner with Fish and Game on those things. And, you know, it is great that they're an urban wildlife now because they're accepting that there are more recreational things and that they want recreational users to be there and make it compatible with the wildlife, right? So, but again, I think some of that, if we wanted to completely control, would be we need to make a plan and be looking for properties nearby that we could take better advantage of that, right?
Right, yeah. Thank you. I just like to put it on the record because you do a great job managing and you have a great team. So that's the right thing is long-term thinking for the future. We're living for more than just today. So
okay. The next change is Idaho Power. I'm going to wait on that one until we get to the capital improvement it's
okay.
associated with. We do have a new budget line that is signs. Signage has just increased. We've got a lot of old signs. We need new signs. We get signs that are damaged. Sometimes we get signs that are shot. So we've just gotten to a point where we've added a designated line for it that typically those have just been run out of other lines. And now we're seeing enough use of it that we're putting it on its own budget line. So the next change is in the exhibits line. You'll see that that line has decreased by $9,000. We've left a little bit in there because there are things for a museum that, like, you know, storage boxes, archival things. We've got the library, those kinds of things that need kind of their own unique office type things. But this line is decreasing by $9,000 because we'd like to put that towards that $20,000 of getting an of creating an exhibit design.
Okay.
Right? Building supplies and materials. This is one that has always been in the last several years. This is one that has been shared by both facilities and us. Because we have Celebration Park, there are just some unique things with our maintenance tech down there that we want that position to be able to just manage that amount to control whatever the buildings need for Celebration Park and down there and a couple of our other sites that they visit. The other portion of it is in facilities who does a lot, you know, some bigger ticket items for us as far as other buildings, whether it's the Lake Lowell Shops, Lake Lowell Park, those types of things. So we do have a base request in ours that's standard for each year for $5,000. You'll see that this is over that request by $7,000 and it's for two different items. One thing that we have been experiencing for several years with at Celebration Park since we improved the East End Camping down there is that we have a lot of trash cans. We need a lot of trash cans. They get really abused. It's far enough out there that they get shot. The lids get taken off. The lids blow away. The wind does quite a bit of damage. Sometimes people back into them. They get beat up a lot. We last year got some heavier duty trash cans with some domed lids, because a lot of us losing lids is that they get ripped off or they get blown away. We even put cable through them to keep them on there, but sometimes they get banged up because they get stuck on people. You know, it's just, they're not great, and we're replacing them quite frequently. By upgrading to this new style that has a domed lid, it's making it easier, more accessible. The lids aren't flying away. They're just on their standard, and they're ADA.
Oh, okay.
And then also, they're just lasting better. Okay. So this is an amount where we'd like to budget for the next few years, this amount to just slowly get to where they're all that way rather than chunk it all at once. This is the proposal, is that next 3 years we could have them all replaced with this style that hopefully, yes, it's more cost at the beginning, but would be less labor and cheaper in the long run.
Okay.
The next one is something that I can guarantee no other department is requesting. It's for two wiki-ups. You will see on pages 11 and 12 of your document what a wiki-up is. A wiki-up is a temporary shelter that was used by Native Americans for thousands of years. A lot of people would call it a teepee, but the difference between a teepee and a wiki-up is that teepees have hide. Wiki-ups use just plant materials. There are actually two different styles of wiki-ups that would have been used in this area. There's the A-frame wiki-up and a domed wiki-up. Currently, the wiki-up we have is in an island in the parking lot, in the main parking lot. So the reason it was there is because of the old configuration of the way field trips went to get to the bridge before we had the museum and the museum plaque. So now the way it is, the way we rotate field trips is the petroglyph in the Atlatl range, and then the lithic lifeways in the museum and the bridge, they each do a program and then they switch. Then they congregate for lunch, they switch sides of the park, and then they do the same thing. They do the programs and then they switch. So right now the wiki up's in a spot that nobody gets to see it. The programs don't really go by it. We can't incorporate it. People love that structure, and we've always incorporated in it. So now it's like, maybe if you can point it out on lunchtime. Ideally, we would like to put two of these structures by the museum to showcase both of them and make them sturdier and more accessible to those field trips, so we can incorporate that in. So that is what that request is about. You can see in the pictures that, like, some of the interpretive rangers challenge how many kids can you get in there. I think they got 35 kids in that one picture on the bottom where you can only see like three kids, and we just don't tell them that there might be creepy crawlies in there, but they all funnel in, and then it's like a clown car. They come out and you count them. So it's a lot of fun. But again, that's what that request is about, and that's why I've given those pictures. If you've ever watched the show Alone, they're constantly making wiki-ups, right? That's essentially what they are. It's the general term for looks like a teepee but doesn't have hides.
So, Chairman, is your staff going to make these, or do you buy them somewhere?
It would be so. Dylan, the park supervisor, has been researching this. How do we make them look authentic, but also not need as much work, make them structurally sound? So these would have, you know, cement bases with the posts in them, potentially rebar with the wood, the rebar kind of hidden to give it a solid structure with wood on the outside. And then we would be collecting a lot of just the local materials over time to and have interpretive rangers doing things, because this one that's in the pictures, it's just mostly branches that are put in it. You know, traditionally they could be mats of tule, which is gathered from the riverbanks. So we could have staff in the wintertime, hey, you know, spend 20 minutes, start making a tule mat so that we can really showcase the different ways you could make it. But a lot of the work would be staff.
And I appreciate that, knowing that there's rebar and concrete in there, it helps that it won't blow away. But it's interesting on the pricing of that. I always think it's good for people to know what we're doing and who's doing it and how we're doing it. And people love going out there. That's what I know.
So excluding the capital improvements budget, if we're taking into consideration the grant funds that will no balance or the money we received this year to complete a project that we already have the money, we just need to, it's going to carry over to next year and we need to pay that bill. Our budget is increasing by, B budget is increasing by $23,050. I do want to say that we have been given directions by these commissioners, and I appreciate this direction, is to put it in the budget because you can't fund it if you don't know about it. So before we go into the C budget, we also know that there are hard decisions. And so with some of these, we would like to just be, if things need to be taken out, we would love to be involved in that conversation to help prioritize what could go to next year or not. Right now, you know, what we're presenting to you is things on our lists that need done.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Since you brought it up, and having sat through enough other budgets today, speaking as one commissioner, I can almost guarantee we're going to get to that point. The requests far surpass the budget authority that we are going to have to levy to cover those requests. So I'm sure you putting this budget together, you have a pretty good idea of what your priority would be. It's probably not a bad idea to harden that a little bit for round two.
Yep, and I really appreciate that comment. The one thing that the sheriff's office did was they presented a three-year strategic plan with a very definite prioritization of what they wanted to see funded first. And then if it's important to that office or department, that would, if it wasn't funded in that year, and I know you understand that, that priority would carry to the next year, and you'd continue just to work through. But I think it's awesome. I mean, you always have great documentation, but for the documentation that's provided to the public, it does create a vision for the county on where we're going. And again, not to be disparaging, but when I first got here, I had a director tell me, they told me to throw my long-term plans away. That's a travesty. That's a horrible thing to say. We want long-term strategic planning and a vision set for the county. And I think Parks does an amazing job of doing that and documenting, and you're finally gaining traction, and just a well-respected department. So, Chairman, I would say that that's a great comment from Commissioner Brooks, that we would encourage all the offices and departments to bring in a prioritized list as we start going through where we're going
to
be.
As we get to the C budget, we'll talk about that. But yeah, I did want to reiterate with you that you've said in the past, put it on there. But having those hard conversations, we can definitely help with prioritizing.
Yeah.
We also want it on the record that, you know, this is something we've been requesting, and hopefully we can get it at some point.
100%. I still totally agree with that.
Yeah.
Like, we get a better idea when you guys show up, and it may be asking for the moon and everything else underneath of it. But at the same time, we understand what's going on in your world better and what your future ideas and plans are for your office or department. So.
Correct. And I appreciate the environment to put all the needs there and then work back and forth to what can be reality.
And a lot like the historic preservation grants that we do, there's only so much funding there. And the recommendations that directors or elected officials who should know their budget better than anyone come and say, hey, this is critical. And I know there's a priority scale, but to the point, it's been a lot of sitting through hearings, but it is unique in that we are hearing just the raw ask on the first pass of what's really out there that needs to be done. And a lot of, the chairman referenced it earlier, a lot of those deferrals just created liabilities that at some point have to be funded. And now with a, whether it's capital improvement projects that need to be staged or from the assessor and the clerk's office and the treasurer's office, programs that need to be bought, we need eyes on all of that, and the clerk's office does too, so that we know how to stage that.
So if it's okay, I'll go into the C budget and then facilities. C budget, here's where we again talk about rolling over funds. So we've had conversations about the purchase of land. We would like to roll over that funding. We are gonna continue with this conversation. We've got a little more traction. I don't know that we need to go into any more detail right now, but that is just rolling that request over.
Yep, I'm in favor of that. It's a great request.
Okay. The next one is the Waterways Improvement Fund Grant Phase 2, the BARB. Again, we are trying to get this one done on this fiscal year. It's at the end of the fiscal year though. And we just can't predict sometimes, right? So this one is where Mike and I talked a lot, feel like maybe rolling over $150,000 as a just in case. I'd rather have it in there and then hopefully we don't need it. The other contingency is worst case scenario happens and we have to do that cofferdam, which I hope we don't, but I can't predict the future. So that would be $200,000.
Chairman, can I ask a question?
Yes.
So there was we took public comment, and given the fact that we're gonna continue under a sole source contract because of equipment mobilization, what's the obstacle between now and the end of this fiscal year that would not allow us? Is it just the complexity of the project?
Yeah, it's construction and water levels that we can't predict. I mean, they're typically really low in the end of July, August, and September, which is that goal. That's the ideal window for this construction to have. And it's a low water year. But again, we're not the ones controlling that water. And I don't know, I can't predict what that water is going to be like, right? And so we're doing everything we can to line up the project to happen during that window.
So there's nothing on this side of the table, and there's nothing in parks, and there's nothing with the contractor. It's just a function of the water flow.
Yes.
I hear you say, okay.
This is where, this is a conversation of what everyone's comfort zone is. It's pushing it right up to the end of the budget, potentially. What contingency do we want to have? Or is there a backup plan if we don't have money that rolls over, right? It doesn't mean that if we roll money over that we'll be expending that money this budget year, but do we plan to roll over as a just in case?
Everybody looks at Kyle. Yeah.
This is the hard thing with construction and parks and that fair weather season at times.
So it is possible, physically they wouldn't be done by our budget year, September 30th, but they would roll in. But if they don't get it done this year, I don't see where our magic $200,000 is coming. And I don't want to try to answer the public's outcry that we didn't get it done during a drought year. So,
I think we're doing everything we can to line it up so that we don't need those. I have to be crystal clear with you and everyone that there is that, you know.
I agree.
There's a level of unknown that we can't control, right? And the potential of needing the cofferdam and dewatering was not on our radar until recently,
yeah.
Right?
Comptroller, have any wonderful words of wisdom?
I mean, with the projects
said that are, I mean, think we can get done, but it might float over. There's always just the budgeting capacity for it, just in case. And then we know that, you know, whatever her bottom line budget is, if it ends up being, you know, a million, but we know that we budgeted an extra 200, whatever, 200K in there, even though there's a chance that she might not use it. We know the next, the 27 budget, more true budget is, you know, 800. She's not necessarily going to be looking to spend the extra just because.
No.
It's kind of like that, the, that we did with this, like we budgeted extra ARPA just in case it got delayed a little bit.
Right.
And it did, so it actually made it easier for us budgeting wise. We didn't have to go and amend it. We didn't have to do this. We had the authority to spend it. It didn't change our budget. We just were shifting.
Right.
You know, instead of going back, having to do an amendment, having to figure that all out, we already had the authority capacity in there. Even though we all knew that, like, we probably weren't going to spend that, it's just giving us that ability just in case. We're not, like, increasing the budget to go spend more.
Right.
We're just allowing us the opportunity and the authority to expend stuff if it were to come.
Right. If that rolls into the next budget, we won't be spending it on anything else just because it's there. It would just
right.
be...
Right.
So it's, like, just making sure, you know, that, you know, the verbiage and all that's out there that, you know, it's not that the parks budget is... bigger,
right.
X, Y, or Z. It's just we're making sure we have the ability to do that in case it were to happen.
Okay.
Just making sure that, you know, we're communicating that appropriately.
Okay. Sure. Chairman, can I ask a question?
Sure.
So, Kyle, tell us how, in your experience as a comptroller, so with that margin that's in there, the unspent and the potential to spend without reopening the budget, recognizing we're just planning, how do you show that? Because your expenses and your revenues have to match, right? To balance, you can't be underwater.
Well, I mean, I, in general, though, with like a lot of the things in the budget, like some things are self-sufficient and other things aren't, right? They're supported through, you know, grants or the, you know, the property tax revenue or sales tax, any of that stuff just goes into there. I mean, and it's just like our budget overall, it could be a deficit budget or not. You know, we're trying to get it balanced the best we can. But in that sense with that, if it is a little bit over, but we know that this year it'll be under and this year it'll be over just because of circumstance of what happened. And I circle back to the ARPA thing, like we,
right.
we were going to spend all of this, but we weren't. We were just making sure we had the capacity to do it. So as we've discussed a number of times on the record, it made it look like our expenses were a lot larger than they were, but we knew, and we had it on the record, we had everything ready to go, that we were just making sure we had the ability and the capacity to do that.
And I appreciate the explanation, and our transparency goal, as many times as we talked about that, the ARPA really is a great example. People thought that we had increased the budget, but it's because they didn't understand the numbers that they were looking at. So as long as we can meet our transparency goal,
yeah.
of what that looks like.
And like I said, for them, it's like, oh, she only spent 500 this year, but then spent 800 the next year, when actually we had budgeted originally to spend the 800, but it just wasn't, like I said, it just weather, whatever, didn't allow us to do that. So we needed to be able to make sure in a more easier fashion to have that, you know, that ability to spend
yeah.
that without having to go through, you know, do an amendment, do this and do that. We just kind of initially just set us up just in case, but we all know, we're all watching it, you know, she's not going to spend 800 and then 800 again when we didn't, you know, didn't need to do that. We all know it was like what's going through there and what is, you know, the actual amount to be spent.
Thanks, Kyle.
Mr. Chair, Commissioners, that is why with these capital improvement grants too, we work with Sarah to make sure they each have an individual budget line. One, it makes it easier for us in tracking expenditures of overlapping grants to make sure that everything is clear cut. And for that reason, too, transparency of going, there's no mixing of funds. It's clear to see what went to what, and then those roll over in the same budget lines if they need to.
Okay. Thanks,
right.
Nikki.
It's a lot of moving parts over multiple fiscal years. And then the last one in our capital improvements is the gun range improvements, just maintaining that $150,000 to keep rolling forward with those improvements. We've made a lot of progress in the gun range this year. There's essentially 10 lanes that have been improved and narrowed and very uniform, nice concrete berms in between. So the plan is to continue with that down going east on the range. We actually increased the number of lanes in there significantly by moving from the berms that were made of dirt to the eco blocks. So we're excited about that. So really in these capital improvements, the $150,000 is really the only, for the gun range, is really the only request of new taxpayer funds, which is, and it, again, it's just a continuation of what we did the last couple of years.
Right. It's a multi-year goal.
So while the capital improvements request shows $700,000, it's really only like $150,000 that's new taxpayer money, which again is where it becomes fuzzy math in my budget. You can't just look at the numbers.
Have to do a little research.
Yep. So then we move on to the partnership we have with Director Britton in facilities in coordinating a lot of the things in the county, building supplies and materials line. Again, he has a base request. We do have added requests for $2,000 in funds to repaint the inside of the museum. You just have to repaint walls every now and then, and they're starting to look yucky. And then some museum window screens and picture frames for some of the things that go on the walls. Grounds maintenance and supplies. We've always had a standard base request of $35,000 in there. That's for everything related to plants, shrubs, grass, fertilizer, just maintaining grounds.
Spraying,
yep. $15,000 for Lake Lowell docks, buoys, maintenance, upkeep, and repairs. Those are standard things. A lot of times each year we're buying a different spool of cable that either goes on buoys or the docks, or we're doing gangway repairs, float replacements. We've got it nailed down pretty well to where it's just a rolling, you know, every few years something needs replaced, but not every year. And so it's about $15,000 is what we need to budget for that. $5,000 is a one-time addition to the grounds line. This is for post and pole fencing. With the new improvements down at Celebration Park for the boating, the area between the ADA walkway and the riverbank, it's quite steeper than it used to be. And the anchoring points for the new dock system, they are in pivot points that go up and down. And we just don't need kids playing on them or trying to get them to walk across them. We need some sort of deterrent to keep them out. So like just two rungs of post and pole fencing to keep people on one side and out of those steep areas and pinch points.
Sure.
Facilities budgets for janitorial supplies for us. That comes with a lot of cost savings because we're using all the same supply order places. Capital improvements has several different things. This was on the list for last year. There are Justice Park signs out there about the old courthouse and the old downtown Caldwell. They're put in a place that's not really accessible, and so $7,000 request to move them to where they actually are accessible and put some of the historic bricks from the courthouse around them. This is one that was unfunded last year. We're requesting it again. Again, we understand if hard decisions have to be made. $10,000 for concrete work on the upper dam west side. So that is the upper dam on the Deer Flat side. There is an ADA accessible boat ramp that is not always ADA accessible because it needs a concrete path so that it can move around the way it needs to. So in talking with the refuge and Director Britton, we're requesting $10,000 in there with the caveat that that price would be split with the refuge. Somebody needs to pay it, and it's easier for us to pay it and the refuge to reimburse. They can reimburse for the materials. They can reimburse us a lot easier than we could doing it the other way. This is also another reason why we would like to look at some sort of cooperative agreement with the refuge, to where it would make it much easier for them to pay us for a lot of things. It would just make it bureaucratically a lot easier. We just need to get there. $12,000 is something that's been, for the next one, is something that's been talked about a lot, electrifying the outbuildings at Lake Lowell. This is something that Sergeant Roberts has done a grant for with State Parks. It just hasn't gotten funded. It's a low amount, and this would be to provide just enough electricity to them to turn lights on and to keep a boat charged over the winter. Right now, we can't use those outbuildings to store boats or the Marine Patrol stuff because they've got no way to charge a battery. So they have to be put on a trickle charger if they're out there, which then you have to, in an emergency, you're dealing with moving from a trickle charger to getting the battery hooked up, and you just don't want to lose that time. So whether this year or future year, this is something we would really like to see happen. Also, those buildings, you just have to bring a flashlight or a headlamp to do anything in them.
Chairman, I have a question.
Yes.
So Sergeant Roberts has had a lot of success in securing grants with his grant writing abilities. He's applied for it. If we spend the money, can we get reimbursed if that grant is approved, or do you have to wait for the approval?
I don't think he's applied for anything recently because he's applied for other grants. He applied for this before they were looking at the new boat. It's been a few years since he applied for this one. So it's one of those that you could try again. I don't know how successful it will be. I just don't know on that one.
Okay.
And that's more of a safety thing, and they're typically competing with other requests, such as really expensive boats, right? And I just don't know how successful that one will be. So we've got on our list to someday, hopefully we can achieve this, but that is the reason why, is those two outbuildings, while we use them for other things, there's enough boats and skidoos and that kind of stuff. It would be nice to be able to have power to, one, light the buildings and charge those Marine Patrol equipment that we shouldn't be taking the time on trickle chargers when there's an emergency, essentially. We're making it work right now. It just makes for a very crowded front shop and shop at Celebration Park.
Okay, and Chairman, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
So would the electrical portion of this be done by facilities in our... Okay, so that's a reduced cost than it would be if we hired a subcontractor to go out there and do it.
And Director Britton can correct me if he's wrong, but he already talked to Idaho Power about...
Mm-hmm. Okay.
About this, so...
Okay, thank you.
Mike pointed out the post and pole fencing, that is also just for materials. That is something that our staff can work on, or we can coordinate with facilities. Like, we'll be able to get that done. That is just materials.
Okay.
The next one is $10,000 for Celebration Park overhead shop bay doors. I'm not sure that we don't have the original bay doors on that shop, and that shop was built in 90. They're pretty sad. They need replaced. So that is another one that we worked with Director Britton to get a price on, and would probably go through overhead door that he has a good relationship with. And
okay.
Yeah. So this the sheriff's office, they store their boat down there on occasion too. We'll share. Yeah, and so that's just the two bay doors. One's mostly, hey, this one's for the boat, and then this one's our side. But again, something newer and that is reliable.
Okay.
We've had some weird incidents where we've had alarms going off at the park, and we look at the video, and it's just the bay doors going up and down, and we don't, like, somebody forgot to lock it, and it's just, like, at random. Like,
oh, weird. Okay.
Poltergeist or something out there. Having fun.
And this is the shop that's next to the restrooms?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yep. One of the other requests is for $15,000 for an anchoring system for boat docks. One of the big challenges we have with the boat docks at Lake Lowell is currently, in the past, we've mostly used tractor tires filled with cement, hooked to the cable, taken out to a certain part, and dropped to hold the docks in line. A big wind comes up and it actually shifts those weights and the docks end up cockeyed or crossed, almost crossed, to where it's a lot of work on staff. We never know when it's gonna happen. It's daily looking at them. This year we did try putting a new type of anchor system. It goes out on one cable, splits into two. There are two weights that are triangular in shape that then, depending on which way it's being pulled, it then, that weight that's pulling against it, it gets wedged in. And then this one gets wedged in. So it's taking into factor both directions, and all it does is it wedges into the ground rather than getting skidded across the top, which is what the current weight systems are doing. They seem to be working great. So that would be a lot less time and staff energy, and essentially once they're put out, there's a float connected to them so that the next year we can reconnect to that same spot. It will help us make sure that they're always aligned in the same way. We did not want to do all of them without testing it out.
Sure.
Sergeant Roberts sent pictures the other day with, I can't remember how many miles an hour gusts, and they didn't move. So that was pretty exciting. So that $15,000 would do the remaining boat docks out at Lake Lowell. And you can see there's pictures of, you know, how the docks get bucked around. And so the last two items that are in Rick's budget is $10,000 to provide electrical services to the Crossroads Museum. This is in conjunction with a request for $96,000 for an HVAC, essentially heating and cooling system for the museum. As you guys are probably aware, I inherited the museum as it was designed by a previous director and architect. It was designed to be passive heat and cooled. Heating is definitely not the problem. Cooling is. We had staff track the temperature last summer. For the majority of the summer, it was 80 to 95 degrees in that mezzanine. It's too hot. It's also too hot for the stuff we're storing in there, for the library. The stairs we have in there are having problems because the glue isn't sticking. It's not working. We've tried with Director Britton. We've insulated the top. We've tried a number of things. The way it was designed does not cool in the summer the way they anticipated it to. In the winter, it's okay. In the summer, we're torturing staff.
This is not the building that has the living quarters for archaeological people. Okay.
So there's the dorm, and then there's the museum with the mezzanine.
Yeah.
The mezzanine is where staff is at. As we know, heat sure. rises.
Yeah.
I was not around for the design of the museum. The intention was that windows would open and close and it would cool at night. We've insulated it. We're trying with the windows. It's not working. If there's a number one request in prioritizing, getting this to be a work environment that is not sweating staff.
Maybe you should put it down on GoFundMe.
Right. This one's a big one.
Because you get that much visitors, it's a possibility. So.
This one's a hard one to you know, see the numbers that staff is doing. And we've even had days where, you know, I always say have laptop, we'll travel. We're working down there and we're trying to find different places to work. It's just too hot.
Chairman, I'll just say too, on that mezzanine level that you worked hard to secure, well, people just were generous and donated. And I just emphasizing your statement that that kind of heat can't be good for that top level.
It's not good for the artifacts we have there. It's not good for the library. And really, I mean, who wants to be working in 85 to 95 degree heat in the summer? I mean, there are days where it's hotter and humider in there than it feels outside because it's just stagnant.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or even if the winds are open, if the wind's not blowing, it's not doing anything.
It's sad that the county got sold that bill of goods from the architect.
Well, most of the museum, almost all of it was funded by grant money, so that's great.
That part's great, but the mezzanine, to put anything up that high is like, come on, give me a break.
So, again, there's definitely things that could be prioritized in here. The air conditioned unit, though, that one, it's the price for the HVAC, $10,000 for power, and the reason why I wanted to come back to the Idaho power request increase is that contingent upon that capital improvement, we need to increase the Idaho power bill by $4,000. So if the AC's project is cut, that can go back to the last year request. But the AC is a big priority on our end.
Okay.
The other documents that you did get were, there is a spread out sheet that just gives a better visual to the current grant we're on that rolls over through budgets and how it aligns with state parks budget versus our budget. Helpful visual to understand where we're at and where money has gone from year to year. The other thing I want to highlight is that a couple staff highlights really quick. You know that we've had incidents at the park lately. We have presented you with the incident report form that we created in conjunction with talking with the Sheriff's Office and Marine Patrol. So anything that's happening, even if it's, hey, this might become something, it might not, but we want a record of it. This is the fillable form that we have, the form we have for staff to leave for supervisors if they're on a weekend and something happens. This has been a great resource to get all the information when everything's fresh in people's mind.
Chairman?
Yes?
Sorry, did you want to, do you have a comment?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Is there a clear chain of command when you have an incident on notifying, I know you're notifying 911 services and that, but the board, or how does that work?
If it's part-time staff, they're supposed to call their supervisors,
okay,
which is either the programs manager and Dylan Starry. Basically, and especially if it's an emergency, we need to know what's happening and that you're okay, and then you can go back to handling it, call us when it's done, which is what Dylan and his staff did when we had that unfortunate incident at the park this January. Depending on the gravity of it, sometimes it's just, hey, these two campers didn't like each other and we're kind of fighting, and here's the back and forth report in case it becomes something. They get it to their supervisor, all the information collected just in case. Sometimes it's, hey, a kid had an allergic reaction at the park. We did this with them and their teacher gave them medicine. You know, we provided Band-Aids, their teacher gave them medicine. Other times it's, hey, we had gunfire. We called the sheriff's office to figure out what it is because it's not the right kind of shooting and it's not an approved kind of shooting. It's all kinds of stuff. And we also want that to have a record of how often we're having these things. Because as Director Breach said, there's a lot more people and a lot of things are changing and staff is dealing with a lot more than they have in the past. And one of the biggest things is incidents down at the park that we're just responding to. I mean, I was just camping there last weekend for our Archaeology Month event, and at 10 o'clock at night, my family and the other people we were there with were responding to a child screaming, "I need help, bloody murder." Turns out the kids with his friends got a little disoriented, couldn't find where camp was, ended up being just fine. But those types of things, like, you know, you can't ignore it when you're down there. So staff is responding, you know, to all kinds of stuff. So we want to be tracking those. We also want to have the information proactively rather than reactively in case certain things take a turn, to have a record of, okay, this person reported that camper was behaving weirdly and then something else happens, we have that information.
Yeah, thank you.
The other thing I want to highlight is that we did give you the stories in stone lesson content. This was a big goal of ours, was to update this. The previous content for field trips, it was all just text and paragraphs. That's it. The archaeology stuff needed some updates, and I feel like it needed some visuals for people to learn. And it, we also have a problem with scope creep, which is where somebody heard this from somebody and it gets added to our lesson content, which is we want to stay on task. So this is what we've done and asked our staff to stick to the script, stick to the plan. Just so you understand, any of the dark grade boxes in there are content that we are telling the teacher we are hitting that standard. That is the most critical. The lighter gray boxes, if you've got time, you add that in. The just plain non-box stuff is, hey, somebody's going to ask you, or on the weekend, you're going to have time to go over this with the general public, and lots of reference materials in the back. This is one of our programs that part-time staff knows. They have to know each one of these.
Wow.
This is the most robust, but I just want to convey how much our part-time staff learns and has to know, or has to know how to reference.
Right.
They get better over time. But I just wanted this to convey to you, one, we're really proud. This was a lot of work. It meets the current state standards. It has helped with improving our field trips. We've gotten lots of comments with how much better they are. Not that they were bad in the past, but they've just gotten more consistent and more thorough and more on point. And this is just one of the, I don't know, five or six programs that we do.
Chairman, this is a great document. Thank you, Nikki. Another win on putting this stuff together. The only thing I see that's missing, if you were the author or whoever authored this document, I think you should proudly put your name on it and with your credentials. I think that that's just the right thing to do. So I don't see that anywhere in here if I've missed it.
So this was, I had these spiral bound just to present to you. These
okay.
are usually just in binders for the staff to start learning these individual programs.
Oh, okay.
You know, so we're not often printing it like this. It's usually in a binder for them to reference, or if they want to borrow the binder and take it home and bring it back as they're learning stuff. But sure, we could do that.
I would. And then for your gift shop, you could put this, because it's that well done, as an item for sale that would benefit whatever it is that you're trying to fund down there. I would be so in favor of that.
The gift shop funds all go towards bus scholarships that help the field trips get down there.
And maybe if you had a project, like even if you put $15 on that, whatever, those sales could help with something. But
my only hesitation would be we don't want to replace our field trips with the do-it-yourself. So it'd have to be redacted to an you know, lesser.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Anyway, great ideas. Thanks for the feedback and nice job on this.
Thank
yeah.
you. Well, this is a good presentation, and you met the bar of giving us your dream. And I'm just going to state the unfortunate reality that we're in, and we're, correct me, clerk, if we're wrong, but we're anticipating $2 million increase.
I would say hopefully at least 3.8, but that number might go up as we get some better.
Okay. So we don't have a whole lot to go around with 65 budgets. So get succinct, but I think it's critically important that we put this on the record of what we could be doing, what we want to look forward to, and as different years ebb and flow, this has already been put on the record that this is in our vision to try to pull the trigger on as soon as we can make that happen. Any other comments or questions?
I don't. It's a great budget presentation. Again, thank you. Yep. And Chairman, I think I appreciate, again, this makes the budget process so fun, because you're looking at long-range planning. Even though we can't fund it all, it shows people what the needs are, and it's not all sometimes about the needs. What makes Canyon County unique? Well, here's what would make it more unique. Here's maybe the roadmap for where we're going.
If anyone wants to donate money to have their name on a wiki up.
There you go.
There we go.
Yes, absolutely.
I love it.
You might get with the PIO officer on that, and we might kind of publish that.
Low-income housing, not really. Okay, never mind.
All right. Any other comments from the clerk?
I just have one clarifying thing.
Okay.
On the part-time, you just decreased that because you said you weren't going to use as
I don't
much.
Know how it ended up with 250,000 last year.
So
I requested 232.
We increased it because there's so much part, so much in part time that if your FICA taxes go up, exceed what is in the budget for them. So we padded that to take care of that. But
But
you've been under your part time the last 3 years. So if you
don't want to be, but that just is the nature of a
so if you
attrition and
potentially think you're going to do that, that's why that extra was in there, was to help cover that. Because if you look, I don't know if it was last year or the year before that, like your those taxes, you went over what was budgeted, but you went under in part time, so it helped cover that. But if you anticipate using and getting close to using,
is
our
goal is to use it. It's just been, it's hard.
Yeah, no,
it's
I get it.
Like, we are very lucky that with those part time positions, people are attracted to the nature of the job.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is most people are driving 45 minutes to an hour one way to do that part-time job. Makes it very difficult. And we're just really lucky that it's the type of job it is. Because if it was any other type of job, we wouldn't be able to fill it.
Yeah. That's why that was there, was if you were to max out just that part-time salary of that amount, then there will be that overage in taking care of those FICA taxes.
Okay, I never understood that. I was just like, oh, I don't know, the ferry.
That explains that.
The ferry gave us extra money.
Oh, no, it didn't.
No, that gets tricky too. And well, in Power Plan is that notes are made in different levels of the budget.
Oh,
so you had
a
note and like the requested for something, and then we added that later in the process.
Okay.
So,
Chairman, I have one question.
Well, I hate to be the big bad chairman, but we are way over time, and we have another hearing to do that was scheduled for an hour, and it only has about 45 minutes available.
I know. So can I make a statement really fast?
Really fast.
So with the conversation that we've had about designated purchase around the lake, I'm wondering what that would look like if we can get the impact fee on a focus, just like urban renewal sometimes focuses on an area. If we had impact fees focus on designated properties around the lake, that might be a way to narrow the focus and then accomplish the goal of getting those implemented for a specified area, and that would be a good one. So that's now I've made it into a statement instead of a question.
All right. Really need to go. We're good? All right.
Chairman, I move we adjourn.
Second. Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries. Let's consider ourselves adjourned. We'll need about